Well, hello, everybody, and welcome, and happy Pride. We're in the days just before the summer solstice, and you are tuned in to LA Talk Radio, Max and Friends. As always, we're delighted that you join us for the table that we make for you. Everyone is welcome at our table. Now, I say our table, and I say the possessive as though, you know, it's actually my table, but it's not actually my table. It's Max Tucci's table. And the show is called Max and Friends. And for over 15 years, Max has been welcoming us to his table for intimate dinner party style conversations with the most interesting and influential people in our culture and our world. We're going to take that a little bit further tonight with a couple of different things. We're going to talk about the BC Seafood Festival because my friends have invited me to attend this one. And the seafood in British Columbia is extraordinary. And the people that farm some of the best seafood in the world are hosting a festival that my dear friend Nathan Fong used to celebrate. And we miss him dearly. And then we're going to talk about Pride with one of the legendary figures in British Columbia, where we're taking you on a tour. Think of it like an adventure to beautiful, majestic, mystical, magical British Columbia. That's where we're going tonight. And Max is with us. And on this Father's Day, where we honor his late father, Mario Tucci, and his grandfather, Oscar Tucci, and for all of us who are here today to spend this Father's Day evening together, we will raise our glass and lift our hearts and say thank you to our dads and stand-in dads and other moms and others who love us like we were their own. And as I look out over the harbor and I imagine what the fishermen are hauling in tonight to share with their own families and what people all across the world are celebrating with their dads and the traditions that they share, a pint in a pub or a long putt on the links, whatever it is you do with your dad, or now without him, or her, or whoever your dad stand-in is, we say thank you. So one of the great things about the month of June is it allows us to celebrate Pride Month. It's the official Pride Month. And, you know, when we talk about Pride, I think we all have this idea, you know, gay pride. And it is a history that goes back to the Stonewall events of the summer of 1969 in New York City, where there were police raids and the danger that so many of us faced then was brought to light, and changes were made in our culture to embrace and accept people. And here we are, this many 50 some odd years later, celebrating with fresh threats. We're not celebrating the threats, we're celebrating pride, but we're doing so in a culture that the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign of Washington, D.C., claims is worthy of the designation of a state of emergency. And so it is on this rare Pride Sunday evening that we share our family meal together and we share a conversation about what Pride is today, what we hope Pride will be tomorrow and moving forward, and what it actually means for one of the most important organizations that represents a population of people that includes Max Tucci and myself. No, we're not just the talk show host community. We're so much more. We are a family, and we are a family that is a chosen family. And it is in that spirit of our chosen family that we are going to have a conversation tonight with Connie Smudge. Now, you remember seeing Connie dancing with the Prime Minister of Canada at the head of the Pride Parade a few years back. Connie has been a pivotal activist and queen, soul mother of so much for our community, tireless advocate, tireless activist. and tireless host and hostess of events, including some of the most precious drag time story hours at libraries all throughout the country. And it was those actions and the attempts to share joy and stories with kids and their parents that some of the latest conversational topics that we will share tonight come up. Are they threats? Are they opportunities? I don't know how to answer that. I was there for one of them and I saw it with my own eyes, and it was very difficult because in the low vibrational energy of hate, it's unmistakable. And there's no need. There's no need for hate. So how can we transform this moment? How can we lay a table so large across North America and around the world that when we say all are welcome at our table, we really mean everybody's welcome at our table, including you and you and you and me and me and me and you and me and me and you and us. There is no them. There's only us at our table. And so on this Pride Month Sunday night, we're going to take a deep breath. I'm going to say the words of Ho'oponopono. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And thank you. And with that prayer, we will kick off this edition of Sunday Supper with Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio, where you are tuned in. Thank you for listening. And thank you for supporting our beloved Max Tucci and his book, The Delmonico Way. If you haven't seen it, it's gorgeous. And it's a book that represents a restaurant where all were welcome at the table. And it's a spirit of invitation that we're going to share with everyone, including our very special guest tonight. We're dedicating the entire hour to the incomparable Connie Smudge. I don't even want to begin reading your resume because I'll use up about 51 of the 53 minutes that we have left. Darling, how are
you? That was so generous of you, my darling Jennifer. Thank you so much. And it was it's a very fitting tribute you put out to all the fathers and father-esques that are in our communities, and very generous words on my behalf. So thank you very much. I appreciate it immensely.
I want to talk tonight about the fact that it's Pride Month, and you are somebody who represents the entire gay community for the entirety of Canada, for the best part.
Holy Hannah, holy Hannah, that's a lot of luggage to carry, sister. Back up a second.
Well, yeah, I know, but I've seen you on national television. I've seen you in the national press. I've watched you bring joy to millions, and you represent our community magnificently well.
Well,
you're not alone in the lift. By the way, I should say, I know you're not alone in the lift, but you represent so many, to so many, tonight on both sides of the border, that I wanted to just say, first of all, thank you. How has that lift changed in your lifetime? What was it when you were just starting out, and what has it become?
Well, you know, it's so funny when you just said that whole last bit, which is I'm still blushing over. So thank you again. I'm not great at the compliments. I'm not. we just do what we do, you know. But you say, you know, that I speak for so many people. Do you know who I really think about in situations that I have been involved with for the last 30 years of doing this thing called drag? Is that, number one, I want to leave a situation better than I found it. It's not easy. I think my dad, speaking of fathers, I think my dad taught me that. Like when I was, you know, an infant, I was just a walking child. And I think about, yes, it's great to leave. You know, I just came back from doing a very small town pride on the Sunshine Coast of British Columbia in Powell River, Cassette Pride. Hi, everybody. And I did a gig earlier at a community hall, and it was a fabulous like sort of talent show. But then later on, I did an evening show at a sort of local sort of loggers bar, if you will. And it was between 10 and 12 p.m. And about 40 people knew I was showing up, and 60 people didn't know I was showing up. So I had to be on my best behavior, but also represent and deliver and win people over. So it's hard doing things in that kind of situation. And I'm used to doing that. But my thing is, I do what I do, especially for the children and the families that I do things for. I do it for the little Chris Bolton, the little Connie Smudge that's out there. I do it for a little boy inside of me that just felt like he was wrong and he didn't belong. And I hope that someone seeing me, a child or an adult or an aunt or an uncle or anybody that sees what I do, I really hope that they, even if they do want to do what I'm doing and put on lots of sparkles and wigs and heels and yada yada, but no, it's not about that. It's that I am presenting in a way that I can do whatever I want to do. Therefore, and it's crazy and it's way over the top and it's really fun, but I'm like a sort of a Disney character on crack. Not everyone wants to do that, but if I can do it, it gives them the license to do and be whoever they want to be. It's kind of that easy.
In every realm of life, in every culture, but let's just talk about North America. How often do people come up to you that are not part of the LGBTQ community or the drag community and say, you represent something that represents me, even though on the surface it might not seem that we're the same? Talk a bit about how so many of us have to put on some version of our business drag, our social drag, some kind of drag, so that we can pass as the people that the world wants us to be versus the people we really are. Or maybe that's a wrong use of the term. Help me understand how many people had or have the need to meet somebody like you for that validation and liberation of becoming who we really are. How often to be less than they actually authentically are?
I totally hear what you're saying. And yeah, it is. But, you know, going back, yes, drag, I think everyone is a bit of a drag queen. I think everyone's got a drag queen in them. Like everyone's put on a, you know, a man has put on a tuxedo and a pair of Gucci shoes and felt like $1 million. And that's his drag. My mom used to wear a bouffant fabulous hairdo back in the 70s and 80s, and when it landed just perfectly and she knew that she looked really tight and spectacular, that was her drag. But going back a little bit further, like, you know, I've said to, you know, we can get into the topic of how many lives one leads in a year. I'm 53 years old, and I think I've led like 30 different lives, right? So we can talk about labels and all that sort of thing. But I really believe that when I was sort of experimenting with homosexuality and that whole thing, even before the drag sort of thing, I used to call it mask number 9 or mask number 7 or mask number 2. And everybody can do that in any walk of life, right? Because I was, believe it or not, I was a sales rep for Imperial Oil for 15 years. I sold bulk lubricants for a living. So I would go into big, huge, like McMillan Bloedel and International Forest Products, and they were like, the fag from Esso's here. And they were really cool with it. I won them over. Right? Yeah. And but I knew what they wanted. So I could put on mask number 3. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm funny gay salesman from Imperial Oil. But then at night, I could put on a different face, and not a drag face, but a different face and a party face and a big gay boy and be all that. Everyone can curtail who they are. It's the mosaic of who we are, really. But being an empathic person, I kind of can read somebody and feel what they sort of need from me or want from me. And I'm a kind of people pleaser, too. Hell, I'm a performer. So I want to deliver what they can see. It's just keeping all of those different masks in order. Do you know what I mean? That's when
No, I totally do. And what's so funny, I mean, the temptation to make a lube joke was just too strong to resist.
Well, tell me about it. My big pickup line back in the day was, hi, my name's Chris. I have size 12 feet. I'm a Virgo and I sell bulk lubricants for a living.
I want to talk about I need to get some technical terms out of the way.
Go.
I want to understand what drag means. What is drag and what isn't drag? Because drag has been in the news so much on both sides of the border lately.
Yeah.
It's been a touchstone, a real, you know, a fire starter, so to speak. Right. And so I want to get really clear about what we're talking about. You talk about the fact that you're a gay man, but you're also a drag person in your persona and in your profession. Is this all one bundle that goes together, or is it?
It's different.
I know that you have a whole line about labels, and this is a great time to address this. Let's start with what the word actually means. What does
drag
mean?
I think everyone has a different meaning of drag, and whatever meaning they have of drag, it's their meaning, and that is all good with me. So, you know, there's like femme drag, there's tough drag, there's like androgynous drag, there's you name it, any color of the rainbow is drag. So anybody's drag is like Michelle Visage on RuPaul isn't a drag queen, but she dresses up in drag, honey. Like, she's painted to the gods. And, you know, I've seen some businessmen going, again, back, like, downtown that I perform for it, like, lawyers' firms and things, and they're wearing $20,000 worth of, like, shoes and clothes. That's their drag. But there's, like, one thing. I think everyone has a drag persona, and it's okay to call yourself a drag queen, no matter who you are, or a drag king, whoever you are, or a drag thing is the new one, because there's a lot of sort of unigendered, if you will. There's like it's non-gendered, it's a non-binary sort of thing. So and I love that, because they're telling stories, and I think that's what's sort of missing from the drag of today, if we want to get a bit bitchy after we do. I don't want to be that old queen. I remember back in the day when we had tainted chapstick and we stole our sister's sweater set. We had to get on stage for free. And I could tell you some stories, sister. But back on the drag thing, I think that anybody can be a drag queen or a drag king or a drag thing. My big thing is that if you can't really say that you're a female impersonator if you are born with all the bits. Because it takes me a long time to look the way I look, you know?
Can I just tell you, there's a part of me that would love nothing more than to recognize and embrace the being inside of me that wants to be as glamorous as you are.
Well, but you could be that. You can wake up tomorrow morning and put on what I put on, honey. Come on over. You can tell, like, it is like, you know, some actors say they didn't really realize who the character was until they went to costume. And it is, I see a point where I like shave off the beard and I like get myself all down to like complete, like I've masked my entire face down, ready to paint on my first color or my first smudge of something. And I can see in my eye this little like twinkle that comes, and I even say out loud, I'm like, oh, there she is. And I start painting, and I kind of morph into her with every step, with every eyelash, with every piece of glitter, with every swipe of a lipstick, with the nylon, with the just every little step of the way, I just keep getting more and more smudgy. That's what I do.
Where smudge comes from, is that, can you give someone that has only met you now tonight for the first time an introduction to Connie Smudge?
Really,
who
really
is
quick.
Connie Smudge?
Really, really quickly. About 30 years ago, I think it's about 28 or 29, we're sort of in a fight about that amongst the family. But I have a whole family. I have a twin sister, Vicky Smudge, and I have a mama Smudge. And Vicky had an illegitimate daughter named Phyllis Delush. And we also have like some sort of weird cousin, and we didn't really know where he came from, but we called him PJ Smudge. And PJ stands for Petri Jizz. I don't know if we're allowed to say that on radio, but that's what I just said. And we toured all of the small logging towns up and down Vancouver Island, almost Priscilla Queen of the Desert style, from the early 90s to the late 90s. And we came up with the names a friend of ours, Greg Wilde, filmed and wrote and produced this weird, wacky movie called Highway of Heartache, and it starred a whole bunch of downtown Vancouver drag queens, and all of them were way too busy and too popular to like go and promote the show itself. So Greg asked my friend Rick and myself, because Rick was really skinny and he fit one of the dresses, and there was another bigger girl in the movie, and I fit the other one. So Vicky came up with the names. First, it was just our first names. And she said, my name is Vicky because I am victorious. And your name is Connie because you're convenient. And we started doing all these weird biker sort of fabulous weird bars that they was like kind of roadhouse. They used to put like, we say it's chain link fences, but they used to put like volleyball nets in front of the stages because people would throw beer bottles at us. And so we were walking into these bars and no one had a clue that we were who we were, what we were doing. So we called ourselves the Smudges because we like to smudge the lines between the heterosexual and homosexual world.
Oh, wow. I'm just like, wow, wow, wow.
I know, too much information.
No. It's the history, though.
Or the herstory, as we like to say, sister.
And it's what we're revisiting.
That's right. So, cyclical. It's so cyclical, isn't it? It's just so bizarre. The COVID totally reminded me of the late 80s, early 90s with like going to all those terrible funerals with all my friends who were dying of HIV and AIDS. And now all this backlash for being who we want to be. It's just so weird. It's like 30 years ago already.
Well, and again, if you're of a certain age and you survive the plague,
oh my God,
there's a generation of people who are going to hear that and think the pandemic and COVID-19.
Oh my God. And it was almost worse because at first we didn't even know. And everyone was just calling it the gay cancer. And it was terrifying. So, and it, not that COVID wasn't horrible because it was hundreds of thousands, but it was, you know, it was so reminiscent and being scared to touch your loved ones and othering people when they did get the COVID. And I'm giving myself shivers right now. It was a terrible, terrible time. Both times were terrible,
denominator of both instances is the fear and the unknown.
Yeah, and fear causes anger. And I think a lot of that has to do, and I hate to say it, my beautiful friends, I love your red, white, and blue. But my goodness, with the previous president, it has started leaking up over our beautiful border. And it feels to me that a lot of people are angry. They're angry about their financial situation. They're angry about the COVID. They're angry about their kids not learning as much as they did because they were stuck in the COVID situation. They're angry at the world. They're angry at, anyway, they are just angry. And sometimes people have to get that out of their systems. So they'll glom on to any old thing that gets the loudest thing. And right now, unfortunately, it's my sisters. It's all of my trans and beautiful, you know, born female, born male, all my drag queen sisters. That is it's a big tragedy because we are a beacon of light for the entire world. You have no idea. I've been receiving a whole bunch of emails from, you know, countries as far away as like, I got a letter from Amsterdam last week and it made me weep. Like just from people like seeing things that we're doing locally, you know what I mean? And that's the thing is it's like a ripple and we're a beacon of light. And that's what pride is all about. Those rainbow colors are for everybody. It's not just for the LGBTQ, 2SI+, BIPOC. It's for everybody. There's a color of the rainbow for everybody. And that's what pride is about. And the louder we are and the more that we shine, the more that the people are in the dark and don't really realize it, whether they don't want to realize it or not, or people that are in countries like, I don't know, Montenegro and like scary, like, there's some scary things happening in Uganda, but they can see these little sort of pieces of news and maybe the information isn't right coming to them, but they can see this beacon of light that happiness and joy and being your authentic self exists somewhere on this planet.
We are talking to the one and only incomparable, glamorous, fabulous Connie Smudge.
Oh, yeah.
This is our Pride moment, our Pride month, and our Pride celebration here on Max and Friends Sunday Suppers. I'm Jennifer English, and I'm guest hosting for Max Tucci, who has generously and really, I cannot thank him enough, invited us to his table to host in his absence this incredible conversation about this moment in time. We're going to turn now to a tradition that Max has on the show and play Ancestors. On this Father's Day, in honor of all of our ancestors who are no longer here with us, and to those who we lost to both plagues, and to those friends who wish us nothing but love, unconditional love, and who lift us up every day in our collective fabulousness, including on Pride Month and every other day of the year. We'll be back with more after this beautiful version of Ancestors.
Oh, I will not fear. I will not fear, no, no. Guide me, Father, come find me. Find me, Mother, come guide me. Show me, Father, come show me. Lead me, Mother, just lead me home. Father, can you take me?
Welcome back to Max and Friends. It's Sunday, and it means it's Sunday supper. I'm Jennifer English. I'm guest hosting for Max Tucci, who for the last 15 years has held this sacred space and invited the most interesting and influential and fascinating and fabulous friends to his table. And that's his legacy, and the legacy of his father and his grandfather, Mario Tucci and Oscar Tucci. He comes by it quite honestly and very authentically, one of the greatest hosts I've ever known. Max Tucci has asked me to sit in for him while he is unavailable. And, you know, when he does that, what it means is I get to invite my friends to the table. And in the month of Pride, I could think of no one better than the incomparable Connie Smudge, the drag laureate of Canada.
Oh, my.
Is that fit? I think that fits.
I don't know. Hopefully it's stretchy.
I love the idea of having a drag laureate.
Well, I think there's a few people that have, anyway, it's not a Kinsey scale, I guess. it takes a village of us, that's for sure.
You know, time flies when we're together, and I wanted to give us the opportunity to actually have the impact that our ancestors hoped that we would have in the world, which is to leave the world a better place than we found. In preparation for this conversation, you and I talked about all the things and all the ways that we could address what's going on culturally, globally, and in our collective worlds, where the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign out of Washington, D.C., declared that for the LGBTQ community, we're in a state of emergency. And how could we address through this conversation and give an opportunity for a light to be shined to limit the darkness of fear that is the basis of the hatred that so many of us are facing so actively, so overtly, and so broadly all over North America. And I asked that as a setup to the following, because I was there at the public library where you were doing just one more of your hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of public service activities, like the working. Royal that you are. In the nicest country in the world, and you were visited by hate. I was there as a witness, and I was shocked because I thought after the plague and after everything, we were done with this, and we're not. What happened? How has this come back? And what do you want us to do about it?
Well, you know, it was very traumatic. It was sort of the biggest one. And I was getting a lot of, it was back in January. That's how long ago it was. And I'm still getting letters about it for for Connie Smudge and against Connie Smudge. So we had an impact. So that's good. But the positive thing is that I was getting a lot of hate mail before the event, and I just put a tired Facebook message up and just said, hey, I'm going to be, because I was just going to, like, we have this thing called the SkyTrain here in Vancouver, and I live on the North Shore of Vancouver, so I was going to get on the Sea Bus, which is just a little boat bus that goes across the Burrard Inlet, and go downtown, which connects to the SkyTrain, and then go out to the burbs, to Coquitlam, to a small little, you know, 75 kid storybook reading, and all of a sudden it got some legs somehow through the advertisement, and then there was a whole bunch of people that were sending me all these hate messages and not to show up and it would be dangerous, and so I didn't, number one thing with anything that I do is safety is number one, so I always have contingency plans in place, so anyone that knows me or wants to come to any of my shows, please have no fear, because everything has been thought of. So I thought about it, and I had all the contingency plans, like sort of RCMP, which is our local police, and different authorities notified. So we were all good that way. But then I thought, you know, this is just crazy. This is 2023. So I put a Facebook page ad saying that I am going to be at the SkyTrain terminal, SeaBus terminal in downtown Vancouver at 9 a.m. Anyone that wants to show up with me can show up there or along the way, because there's about 28 stops, because that's way out of town. So I got there at about 5 to 9, and there was about 12 people standing around And then there was about 30 people standing around. And then there was about 75 people standing around. And then we got on the SkyTrain. And every single stop we stopped at, more people got on. More people got on. I was getting text messages of movies and little snippets from the actual event with like 150, 200 people waiting there. So we got off the SkyTrain. We walked across the street very proudly. And there were 17 asshats. Sorry, I'm getting a bit rude again. But just 17 of these miserable souls that didn't even know what we were doing there, with their upside down Canadian flags, which I don't know what that's about, yelling and screaming. Kids were all inside. We had a big, huge, I said, thank you for being here. I've got to go inside and read some books to some children. And I went inside and there were 150 children. And let me tell you, they were all dressed beautifully. They looked like they slept in nice, clean beds. They look like they've had 3 square meals for their entire life. They look intelligent, like thoughtful, beautiful children with their most amazing, understanding parents. And we had the most glorious time. And then we came outside and all those 450 people were still there, still partying like it was a big pride celebration. And those 17 jerks that were hating us looked dehydrated and really, really couldn't even yell anymore because they'd yelled themselves out. I walked over and handed them water. So I really think that, and I want to get really Mr. Rogers, we have to take it back to brass tacks. And the thing is, if you look around, there's way more helpers in the world. You just have to look for your helpers.
Every time I hear that story, I tear up.
It was almost the best thing, honestly, Jen. Jen, it was honestly the most, it was like, I've done a lot of fabulous things. I think it was the most fabulous thing I've ever done because love triumphed over hate. And in a bigger way than I could have even, my uncle sent me a picture of the Floridian Gazette a couple of weeks ago and said, are you in town? Because they were using my picture on the front of the Floridian Gazette from Coquitlam, British Columbia, 6 months ago. These people just want to take images and ideas with no fact. It's all fiction to sort of somehow make it all right that they have all of these horrible feelings inside of them. And there we come back to your big round table, is that if we could all just sit at the table, like nobody gains anything by not sitting at the table. Number one, you're left hungry. And number two, you're left dumb. How about that?
Wow. What I want to understand and what I want to inspire.
You're really gargly. Sorry.
What's that?
You're very gargly. I'm just having a little bit of hot problem hearing you. But keep
going. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Maybe I lost you.
Is that better?
Oh, that might be better.
So, Connie, can you put your mic on mute for a second?
Yeah.
Because I think we're getting feedback. So, with the time that we have left, I want to talk about what pride means today, because there are people who've only known pride celebrations in their lifetime, young people, for whom the pain of our particular past is as foreign as Marie Antoinette's time. You understand? And that's a good thing. That's what we fought for. That's what we fought for and were activists to stimulate, the right to marry, the right to love. And I know that you've got a wonderful saying, live, love, and let love. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about that, but I want to particularly, what does pride mean to you, and what does pride mean today?
Pride means the same thing it meant to me, you know, 30 years ago. It means being proud of whoever you are and wherever you are on your journey. Like, honestly, I've been so many different people over the last 30 years that it is an evolution of who I am. So Yes, I'd like to be a bit further from, like, ahead somehow, financially, romantically, spiritually. I'm always striving for more, but I have to be content and proud of how far I've come, and how proud I am. Pride means a lot of the family I've created. How proud I am of the people that I am so privileged to have in my life. Like, I'm proud of my mom and my sister. They're so supportive of me. But I'm proud of the village, the tribe that I've created as well. And that's what I always tell the kids. I'm like, if you're trying to be somebody else, you're going to attract the wrong experiences and the wrong people to your life. So the more you are your authentic self, as freaky or whatever you think you might be, that's the way to be, because then you're going to find more freaky and fabulous people too. And, you know, I don't want to give you a whole bunch of my, because I love my little mottos and sayings that get me through every day. But I really believe that persistence beats resistance. So, and you always have to check in with yourself, your intent. Make sure that you aren't coming from an angry place, or you aren't coming from a hurt place, because, you know, that expression, hurt people hurt people. So, again, I look at these guys. There's this guy that is following me around everywhere, and I don't want to give him any publicity, but his stupid name of his thing is called Gays Against Groomers. And I walked up to him last time and I said, do you realize that your acronym is GAG? Anyway, I have to look at him, and I don't know his story. He might just be some, you know, dumb guy that doesn't really realize what we're doing, but he also might be somebody that might have been abused as a child, and he sees me as a threat. So the only way to get over that is for him to actually talk to me rather than yelling at me. So I've asked him for conversations. He won't. He goes to the North Vancouver City Council all the time, and he just doesn't want to understand. And that brings me to another one of my big fabulous mottos is, prejudice is an emotional commitment to ignorance. Let that
Wow, can you say that again?
Prejudice is an emotional commitment to ignorance.
Wow, wow, wow. I love that.
And it's also, you know what, Kat? It's also, kitten, it is also coming down to the fact that, you know, yes, we have, like, sort of, I've almost placated people. Like, I've almost, because I want to be so understanding. And you have to be sitting at the table. So there has to be sort of a conversation of understanding, open-mindedness, because I don't know what their journey has been. But it really is taking me back to the sort of late 80s again and ACT UP. And it's like sometimes their methods were terrifying. But, you know, like, we're used to it. Like, I'm almost getting, I don't know about you, Jennifer, but I'm almost getting to that point. And you can't get to, I cannot permit myself to get to that point, because hate only begets more hate. That's it. That's all. So I have to keep checking in with myself and making sure that I'm coming from a place of love, a place of understanding, and a place of real joy. Because that is like, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Guess what? Joy kills that anger, that hatred, that uninformed point of view. Joy is the only thing. Joy and love is the only thing.
Love.
Yeah.
All right. We have literally 1 minute and a half left. And in that time, where will you be celebrating Pride? And where can people reach out to you and love?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm on Facebook. It's just Connie, C-O-N-N-I, no E, smudge. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Insta. I'm on Twitter, I think. Someone handles that for me. So if someone writes something rude, it's not me. And I am celebrating Pride locally, but thinking globally. Our Pride here is at the end of July, beginning of August, but my Pride season started last weekend up in beautiful Pell River, and I'm going, like, gaily forward for the next 2 months. I can't wait for you to see me, like, the second week in August. I'm going to be
so thin. And you and I are going to be making an appearance together. We're having Pride, big gay Pride drag bingo in North Vancouver on June 28th on a Wednesday.
We are at the Lonsdale Key, right, sister?
Tell everybody about your bingo experiences. You have got got to get a ticket. It's going to be on Eventbrite, and we're going to have it listed on our Instagram and on our Facebook page. But tell everybody what it's going to be. We have about 60 seconds left.
We've got fabulous prizes. There'll be 6 games. It's $20 for the whole shebang. I'm going to be doing fabulous songs in between, and I want you to wait for that. Oh, 69!
My darling friend, happy Pride, and thank you for coming and persevering and for being so incredibly generous. And literally, your presence makes the world a better place.
I love you. I really cherish you. I love what you're doing. You're spectacular at this. And I just want everyone to remember that Pride is 365 and that it takes courage not to get discouraged.
It takes courage not to get discouraged. You have got the best sayings tonight. I'm like writing all of this down.
Love and let love, baby. Happy Pride 2023.
Love and let love, my darling. This is Max and Friends. I'm Jennifer English, guest hosting for Max Tucci. And as Max would say, if he were here, thank you. I see you. I hear you. And of course, we know you matter to us. That's why we're here together. Thank you so, so much. We'll see you next week. Cheers.